November 6th, you're in the house because God wanted you here. Hallelujah. Could it be that he has something for you? Could it be that he wants to give you something this morning? Could it be that? Could it be that he has great things for you? Amen. Hallelujah. He's a big God. He's able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. So what are you guys thankful for Thanksgiving? Family? Anything else, family? Health. Amen. Hallelujah. What? My Savior Jesus. That's what I want to talk about today, my Savior Jesus. I'm thankful for Jesus. How many are thankful for Jesus? Hallelujah. Without him, you are on a collision course. I mean, this is hard. I mean, but I'm going to tell you, without him, you're on a collision course with hell. Do you know that? Collision course with hell without Jesus. That's pretty rough. Hey, man. But you know what? You can thank God in that because God had an answer for you. Amen? Jesus is the answer. He'll get you out of that collision course. He'll actually set you on the course that he has for you. And he'll take you to where, if you'll listen, he'll take you to where he wants you to go. Is that cool? That's pretty awesome, man. For God so loved the world. The world. Is that right? Who's that? Everybody. Whatever they're doing, however they're doing it, God loves them. And he gave his son for them. Is that correct? Are we, is that correct?
Yes.
You know, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing if they just knew that Jesus would do ask him to do. If they just knew Jesus, is that right? They wouldn't be doing what they're doing. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you voted already? Do you guys, how many of you are thanking God that you have the privilege to vote in this country? Hallelujah. I mean, everybody, it's the right thing to do. How you like that? Is that right? We have the right to vote. It's the right thing to do. Hallelujah. And how many, no matter what happens, on Wednesday morning, are you going to get up and give God thanks? No matter what happens. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You did your part. You voted. Wednesday morning, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I got a feeling if everybody in the house of the Lord would go to vote this year, we'd see something pretty crazy. Amen. Amen. I don't know. I better get away from this subject. Amen. What do you think, John? I think I should, probably. Hallelujah. That's right. The outcome's already there, isn't it? Isn't it there? Is that what we believe? That the outcome is already in there? It's already known. It's already shown. It's already... No matter what, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. No matter what happens, I am going to give praise to God. I'm going to fall on my knees every day, 3 times a day, 5 times. How many Daniel do it? Whatever, man. But I'm going to give God thanks and praise, man. Hallelujah. Because he runs it. It's God's show. How many know that? It's God's show. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, where's my stuff? Oh, way down here. Hallelujah. So if you would you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, verse 22 through 35. We're going to talk a little bit about Jesus this morning. Is that okay? We talk about Jesus? Is that okay? The Word of God says, if I be lifted up, it's what Jesus said. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, is what he said. He'll draw people to him if you just talk to people about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35. This is right after Jesus was born, 8 days afterwards, and Mary decides that, well, they're going to they got him circumcised, and now they're gonna take him into the temple, and they're gonna offer a sacrifice for him, and pray for him, have him dedicated in the temple, baby Jesus, amen, hallelujah. Mom and dad are doing what the law has said for them to do, and so we're just gonna see. We're going to see this little event and just look at it just for a second. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I ask you, Father God, that you would just flood our hearts today with what you're saying to us. Lord, every person in the house today, God, you have them here so that you might speak something very good to build them up and strengthen them. God, I just pray that you, by your Spirit, would break everything that is contrary to you that's in the house. And allow your Spirit to flow into the hearts of people this morning. Build them, strengthen them, show them your love. Grant them, Lord, your peace, Father. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Starting at verse 22, it says, "And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." How many of you know the Holy Spirit rested on people back then? Today he comes into you. But back then, before Jesus died on the cross, he rested on you. And he was resting on this on Simeon. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that shall be spoken against." How many of you know people speak against Jesus? How many of you know that? Here's this old man, and the Holy Spirit's upon him, and he's saying things. He's prophesying, if you will. And he's saying, you know, this child, people will speak against him. They're still doing it today. It's still happening today. Isn't that crazy? People are still denying Jesus the right that he has in their life as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then he tells Mary, he says, "Yea, and a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Talking about his mom, talking about what Jesus' mission was and what was going to happen. Do you love it? I love it when all of a sudden Simeon sees the baby. Looks like just any other baby. Is that right? Wouldn't you say? Probably seen dozens of the kids come in to get prayed for and sacrificed and dedicated. Probably seen hundreds and hundreds in his time. But this one, he grabs him. Some of you moms are, "Hey, who are you, bro? What are you doing?" You know, runs over, man. "Give me the baby." And he lifts him up to the Lord. You guys ever see Roots? You guys remember the movie Roots? It's kind of an old movie, but I remember the dad picks up his son to... and ask God to bless him. I did that with this guy. Can you believe that? I grabbed him. "God, I don't know how to raise a son, God. I got no idea how to do these kind of things." How many of you know? Nobody does when the first time. Is that right? Nobody knows. Nobody knows how to do that stuff. Simeon raises him up. And then he says, now I can depart in peace, Lord, just like you said. Hallelujah. And then he says this, for my eyes have seen your salvation. He's talking about a baby. A baby. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? That's cool, man. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah 52. I want you to look at a few scriptures. Isaiah 52. I want to start at verse 9. It says, break forth into joy. Come on. No? Okay. Break forth into joy. That's what it says right here. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. It says, break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. And then verse 10 says this, the Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see what? Salvation. The salvation. What did Simeon call him? My eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. And how many years? I didn't stop to figure this out, but this was a long time. This is a prophecy of Jesus long before he made it to that temple. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. The other day, hey, let's check this out. I'm walking around like my usually walk. I went down to the Mormon church, asked God to bless the Mormon church. How do you do that? Hey, you know what? I believe there's people in there that are hungry for God. And you know what? And God can get a hold of them somehow, some way, possibly through many of you. Hallelujah. And touch their hearts. So I went down to the Mormon church, went down past the Mormon church, went across the street down there, went to the Methodist church, went in there and prayed. There was a lady out front. I said, hey, let's pray for your church, man. We prayed for her church. Come back up the street, and I was kneeled down in front of the high school, one knee. One knee. You never know what kind of crazy kooks are running around. Yeah, but I was down on one knee. And while I was praying, I said, Lord, let your young people, let your children, because the Bible says that the children are the heritage of the Lord. I said, Lord, let your children become evangelists in this high school. Cause them to speak words of wisdom to their friends. Let them evangelize this school. And I was just kind of sitting there praying and crying a little bit because pastor's a crybaby. And all of a sudden I heard this. I heard these words. Up. Rejoice over your city. Woo, man, I tell you what. Right there in the middle of it. Right in front of Sawarita High School, man. Come on, Lord. Yeah. I can see people going by. I can see them looking at the rearview mirror, man. What's wrong with that guy, man? He must have got bit by something. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. When I heard those words, snapped in my spirit. Hallelujah. Folks, that's why I'm telling you, something's happening in our city. Something's happening in our city. This prophecy was years before Jesus. How many, do you know? Most people will wait till they see something. Well, I'll wait till I see my son get saved, and then I'll rejoice. No, the Word of God says do it the other way. Rejoice first. You rejoice first, and then you'll see it. It's just going to come to pass because you're thanking God for something. Hallelujah. God calls things that are not as though they were, is what the Word of God tells us. And when you begin to take the time and say, you know what? I will rejoice over my city. Let me tell you something. I went from there. I went over in front of the police department. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's going to do something in my city. It's going to be a different place. Let me just ask you a question. Is anything too hard for God?
No.
There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. But you know what he needs? Do you remember where it says in the scriptures where Jesus could not do anything in that city? Why?
Unbelief.
Why? Because they knew him. Oh, he's just a carpenter's son. He grew up, man. He grew up with my daughter, man. Who's he? Who does he think he is? The Son of God. But he couldn't do anything there because of unbelief. Folks, can God do anything in our city? He can do whatever he wants to do. Do you hear me? If we'll believe him for it. Is that cool? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I'm still feeling the effects of that. It seems funny because maybe he was waiting for this, for that piece to connect so that I can bring this word to you this morning. Amen. We got to rejoice over the things that he's told us before we see them. You have to. Hallelujah. See, you see, folks, that's called, simple words, faith. Faith. Rejoicing over something before you see it. Hallelujah. Teach that to your children. Teach that to your grandchildren. And watch what the world looks like. So a lot of folks are afraid of what the world's going to look like in 10 years. I'm going to tell you something. Around my house, I'm rejoicing because I know that God's going to do something great with the generation that we're bringing up. Amen? Hallelujah. Write that down. Put it. Anybody taking notes? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take notes. It's hard to remember these things sometimes. Do you know why? Listen, we are all created the same way. How many know that? We're all created the same way, but we're all different. We all have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Is that right? Your body is your, it's your vehicle, it's your earth suit. It's what, it's got five senses. Learn that in health. You guys remember the health class? Five senses, you got, you know, seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, and hearing, right? Seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, and hearing. Is that right? Those are the five senses of the body that God has created us with. The soul, a little bit different. Mind, will, and emotions. This is what houses your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul. It's pretty cool. It's where your emotions are located. Where your soul, where your, when somebody upsets you, your emotions get riled up. Right? Until you know Jesus, that's most basically where you're at. You're operating only in your soul and your body. Your spirit hasn't been turned on. You give your life to Jesus. You say, Jesus, come into my heart. And what he does, he says, I will make you whole. Is that right? He makes you whole. What he does, he turns on your spirit. In your spirit, you have a couple of things. You got communion with God. That's called prayer. Amen? Communion. We take communion this morning, but that's not the communion. That's a communion that remember what Jesus has done for us. The communion we really have is every day when you're talking to the Lord, when you're speaking to him, you're going to him and talking to him, say, Lord, teach me, strengthen me, build me, touch my brother, touch my sister, touch my son, touch my daughter. Communion, talking to God. Intuition is another word that you have. That's just knowing. How many of you ever just known something and said, man, I knew that was going to happen? You know, ladies have this better than guys do. You ever heard of women's intuition? My mom used to know stuff. Couldn't hide it from her. Later on, she goes, I know you did that. You thought you were hiding, but I knew it. Intuition. And the last little thing that's in the spirit of a man is what's called the conscience. Conscience. That little thing that tells you, man, you know what? If I steal this thing, I might go to jail. Don't steal it. Something within you says, don't do that. Something within you, when you're real rude to your mom, your dad, your friend, your best friend, your wife, your husband, you're real mean to them, and something within you said, you shouldn't have said that. Conscience. The Bible says that there's a time coming where men and women will have what they call a seared conscience, where they won't listen to that. That little voice telling them, don't do that. Stop doing that. Quit doing that because God, see, because Jesus hadn't turned their spirit on. Spirit, soul, and body. It's cool. We're all built that way. So why is it when you come into church, Henry asks you to take notes? Why would I ask you to take notes? Because I want you to be built up. A lot of times when you're taking notes, it might not even be something that I said, but you remember something that connects to you and you'll write it down. You need to remember, you need to know that those things that are being spoken to you are the Holy Ghost. and he's quickening you. He's speaking to you. Because I'll tell you, when you're in the house and the Spirit's doing something, you might not realize it, but you suddenly, you click into spiritual mode. Do you know, you hear what I'm saying? You click into spiritual mode. You come in the house, you hear things, you hear God speaking to you, you're clicked in. Service ends, you go outside, you go and have lunch, right? And somebody asks you, hey, I didn't make it to church today, bro. What did the pastor talk about? And you have a, it was good, man, but I can't remember. And then you're looking at somebody else, like, oh, man, I don't remember what he said. You guys ever, anybody ever done that? The reason is because you clicked into spiritual mode and the Lord feeds your spirit. He's not trying to feed your brain. He wants to feed your spirit. Do you get it? So you click into the spiritual mode. That's why I'm telling you, you ought to take notes. You ought to take some notes when you're in here. When God's saying something to you. Because that's what's going to build you. It's going to remind you of things. Middle of the night. I can't tell you how many times God has said something to me. I'm laying like I'm half awake, half asleep. And God begins to say something to me. And I go, oh yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that. And I go right back to sleep. Wake up in the morning and say, what was that? What was it? I should have gotten up and made a note. Is that right? Because I knew it was good. But my flesh, my body says, hey, tell him to shut up and go to sleep. No, man. Get up. Write it down. Take notes, folks. Because God is trying to speak things to you. You can forget these things. Is that right? I've heard people say, well, just because we're forgetters. We're not forgetters. We are not forgetters. We operate out of two mindsets. Do you know that? Do you know that we have two mindsets? One is our natural mindset. The other mindset is the mindset that God gives us. Huh. The Spirit speaking to you. Some of you look at me like, you're crazy. Let me tell you, I'm telling you the truth. Know this. Know this. God is trying to strengthen you in your spirit. Because in Thessalonians, Paul is talking to the Thessalonians and he says, I pray that God would strengthen you spirit, soul, and body. He says it that way. He doesn't say body, soul, and spirit. He doesn't say soul, body, and spirit. He says spirit, soul, and body because it's a spiritual order. When you allow the Spirit to lead and guide your life, guide your soul in its thinking and its emotions and all those other things, you're going to find out that everything begins to fall into place. Woo! I don't know who you are, but man, I can sense God saying something to somebody. God's giving you something this morning. This could be like the answer of what you've been asking for. So God, how is it that I keep going back the other way? Because you're allowing your soul man to rule. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to rule. You need to let that spirit of man that's within you, that you've learned about God, you need to allow him to rule you and take over. And I'm so far away from my message. Hallelujah. But man, I'm sensing that God has given this to somebody. Somebody here needs this. Hallelujah. To understand, have an understanding of how he's built you. We're all built the same. We all have the same kind of mess ups. We all kind of, I mean, not exactly the same, but you know, we all have those things. But the fact of the matter is, God is saying, look, let your spirit lead you. Let your spirit guide you. Let your spirit speak to your soul. And then have your spirit and your soul speak to your body. Whew, man, I'll tell you. Glory to God. Sorry, man. I got off on a little track there, man. Break forth into joy. Hallelujah. Can we go to Psalm 98? Break forth. Oh, break forth into joy. Oh, my soul. Psalm 98. Hallelujah. I like these psalms that towards the end, they get into, David gets into these kind of like this worship mode. And Psalm 98 says this. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Amen? Hallelujah. A new song. Amen. I better leave that alone. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. Do you remember that scripture we saw in Isaiah 52:10? Talked about his holy arm has been revealed. This one right here is saying that his holy arm has given him the victory. Who is his holy arm? His name is Jesus. That's his holy arm. He is the one that came to the earth. Amen. Just watch what it says. The Lord has made known his salvation. Is that right? What did Simeon say? I have seen your salvation. Here it is. It says, the Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of all the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing and praise. Amen? Woo, come on, man. Hallelujah. He has shown his salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. That was just a little short stop. One of the things I'm doing for you is just showing you that the Word of God confirms itself. The Word speaks. I mean, you don't just stand on one scripture. The Bible says by two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. Is that correct? Everything will be established by two or three witnesses. And these two witnesses I just showed you, number one, that he is our salvation. Him, Jesus, is the salvation that was, and he is the holy arm of God. Strength. How many know that Jesus was strong? How many know that? How do you know it? When they arrested him, there was something that were, they were, he said, don't you know I can call, I think it was, I don't know, 12 legions, I think he said. Is that right? I can call 12 legions of angels right now. He says, man, but then how will the word of God be fulfilled? So he didn't call 12 legions of angels. How many know that? How many know that when he was on the cross and they were beating him? How many know that? I believe the angels were looking at God. What do you want us to do? Because I don't even think the angels knew what was going on. The angels, God, what do we do? Calm down, boys. Hallelujah. Did I say 53? We're going back to 52. I want to read this. I'm going to start at verse 10 again, where it talks about the arm. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see his salvation. Shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye. Go out from here. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out in the midst of her. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be clean, you that bear the vessels of the Lord. How many of you know that you guys are the vessels of the Lord? And he's saying something here. Go out from among what you know, what's incorrect, and bear the holy. Hallelujah. He's talking to you there. Hallelujah. And then he says this. For you shall not go out with haste nor by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. What does that mean? He's going to go in front of you, and he's going to watch over everything behind you. Is that okay? Can you trust God to do that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Can you trust God to help you when you're going on a trip, Dennis? Can you trust God to help you and go before you and come up behind you? Hallelujah. He'll go before you. Do you remember when the children of Israel will come up to I can't remember where it was at. They come up to the Red Sea. And about that time, Pharaoh is sitting in his office in Egypt and saying, you know what? Why do we let them go? What's wrong with us? Grab the chariots, boys. Go get them back. And he sent his guys out there, man. And the people, they come up to the edge of the Red Sea and they see the chariots and the armies coming after them. And they start getting after Moses. After seeing all the things that God had done to Egypt. The frogs, the flies, the dust, the darkness, all those things that they saw, they start telling Moses, did you bring us out here to kill us? Praise God, man. Poor Moses. Did you bring us out here to kill us? We should have stayed in Egypt. You're not a very good general. We're surrounded and we're up against this, oh, this, the Red Sea. God tells Moses, says, hey, I want you to speak to that Red Sea. Open it up. Let the people go through. Remember that? But before that happened, the Bible says that all night long a wind blew. So when those chariots were coming, there had to be something between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. And the Bible says that there was a fire that was leading Moses. And that fire left its position from in front of them and went around behind them and made a separation between those Egyptians that were wanting to kill him. And it allowed the winds to blow that Red Sea where it opened up and the people went through. So God not only was before them, but when trouble came up behind them, he went there too. Is that right? God goes before you. I remember one time I was driving to, Rosie and I were driving to Bisbee, and we're on, I think it was 92 or 93, coming off of I-10, heading towards Sierra Vista, Fort Huachuca. And we're driving there, man, I'm just cruising along, had this big Pontiac station wagon. I had one baby, and I figured I had to have a big vehicle for lots of kids. Amen? All I got was two. But I had this big old station wagon, and I'm cruising about 55, 60, I don't know. And Rosie's half asleep over on the other side, and I'm just cruising, not thinking about anything that I can remember. All of a sudden, right in front of me, I see this, probably a 1961, 60 Ford station wagon, kind of a burnt orange color, all faded, loaded up with all sorts of junk on it, pull out right in front of me. I saw him come to the road and he pulled out in front of me and I locked up the brakes, stuck my hand out to keep my wife from going. I just, I look up and there was nothing there. Like, Rosie, by that time you can tell what my wife is. What's wrong with you? Are you falling asleep? I said, no, man, I saw a car, man. I really did, man. I saw this car, and it pulled down right in front of us. What's wrong with you? You scared me to death. We're kind of in that mode. You ever been in that mode? Anybody? No, okay. We're in that mode, and the car was going, I mean, I'd slowed down, didn't screech to a halt, but was going slow, looked up, and right then, it pulled out. That car pulled out in front of me, and I had enough time to stop because he just pulled right out. And you see, that's my version of how the Lord goes before you. See, he showed it to me even before it happened. I didn't, you know. I said, Lord, it'd be nice if you had done a little different. I could say, hey, I could go with, slow down, Henry, a car's going to pull out here, you know. That would have been a little easier on me and my wife. But it was crazy. He went before us. Isn't that cool? That's the way God is. He knows what's happening. He knows what's coming towards you. Amen. You can trust him. Hallelujah. He goes before you. He comes up behind you. He takes care of you and watches over you. Somehow you think that your life is just, it is on a purpose-driven course. Do you realize that? Even those people that don't know God, their life is on a purpose-driven course. Hallelujah. One of these days, if they're willing, God will open that door and say, come on in, son. Come on in, daughter. And God will begin to show them all those things. It's cool. How many of you are praying for loved ones that don't know Jesus? Anybody here? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for those loved ones that don't know Christ. Father, I'm asking you, Lord, that you would, even today, Lord, begin to drag them in, pull them in, whatever, Lord. But Holy Spirit, speak to those folks that are being that are far from you right now, Lord. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll go behind you. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Who's he talking about right there? He's talking about Jesus. My servant will be exalted and extolled. You remember? 12 years old, he went into the temple. The priests are looking at him, man, this kid's brilliant. Who is he? He's asking questions that people that know God don't even ask. And then he shows up in the temple. People start getting healed. He asks a withered man to stand forth, and he heals him in the temple. And the priests get all mad because he heals on a Sabbath day. But the people are saying, hey, don't they know that this is the Christ? Don't they realize it? He had to go hide himself because, you know why? Because they were going to grab him and try to put him in some kind of position. They would make him a king. So he had to go hide himself. See, he was exalted and extolled, wasn't he? Oh, yeah, he was. Everybody knew about him. But even though he had been exalted, remember when he came into Jerusalem? They're laying down their coats. They're putting palm trees in front of him. They're crying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna! A week later, different story. Verse 14, it says, as many were astonished, that astonied, that's a King James word, astonied. It's the same word we get astonished or amazed. As many as were amazed at him, it says this, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. That word visage, that's his form, his body, if you will. When they whipped him, when they got through with him, when he was walking up to that hill, I know this isn't Easter. I know this isn't Resurrection Sunday, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm talking to you about things I'm thankful for. Are you thankful? When he walked up to that hill at Calvary, that word marred means disfigured. Can you believe that? These guys were brutal to the Lord. Brutal. His form was so marred, it was more than any of the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle, check this out, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. Is that right? Do you like that? I like that. When they start talking about Jesus, they go, whoa, man. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Kings will shut their mouths at him. For that which he had not been told them, they shall see. And that what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Folks, who's believed us? Who has believed what we're saying? Have you believed it? Yeah, come on. We'll put you on a spot here, man. Who's believed our report? Maybe. We're not giving any reports out. Maybe. Ooh, come on. Maybe we're not saying anything. Who has believed our report? Verse 2 says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's just like a regular guy. He is despised, rejected of men. The Pharisees did that, didn't they? They despised him. They hated him. They wanted him dead. Rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That word esteemed, we didn't appreciate him. How many of you appreciate Jesus? Amen. Oh man, come on, man. This Thanksgiving month. Amen. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded, what? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our what? Iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are what? Healed. Do you believe the report? Do you believe what the Word of God is saying right here? That by his stripes, you are healed. Whoa, take a hold of this, folks. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. Not just us in the house. Those folks that are out there. He's put on Christ their sins. Come on, man. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. For our transgressions. Us. Amen? Come on, man. Thank you, Pat. Pat tells me, keep it simple, brother. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Folks, this is simple. How many know that? It's simple. He's done it all. When he said it's finished, it's finished. He's done it all. The healing's complete. The health's complete. Your mind is complete. He made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He's put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Do you know what God's pleasure is? What's the pleasure of the Lord? One thing he said about Jesus, he says, this is my beloved son, whom I'm what? Well pleased. Then he says another place, he says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is that cool? Well, I want to show you one more scripture. I hope I gave it to these guys. His pleasure. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Let's go to that real quick. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11 says this. Remember the former things of old. God is saying something. Look back. Remember the old things. How far back do you want to go? You know, I'm going to just say, hey, let's just look back to Adam and Eve. How's that? Remember the things of old. For I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Who can you compare God to? You can't compare God to anybody. Why? Why? There's only one God, and you can't compare him to anything. If you're going to compare, you've got to have two of something. Is that right? What can you compare him to? Nothing. There's nothing like him. Woo, man, I'll tell you what. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Listen to what he's saying. I am declaring things from the beginning. When he made Adam and Eve, even right in that time, he was declaring things. He told Adam a few things that were kind of weird, that was kind of neat. Don't eat from that tree. For the day you eat that tree, you're surely going to die. He said stuff like that. He says, you know what? I've given you the earth. Subdue it. Take dominion over it. So those things that he said, just think about it, he's still saying today. Because watch what he says here. Declaring the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The purpose that he put man on the earth was to, remember Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. It's a fig tree over there. Yeah, it's got spiny leaves on it. Don't use it if you hear something goes wrong with you. You remember that? Hey, see that tree over there? That's the tree of life. It produces leaves of healing for the nations. Walking in the cool of the day with his God, Adam was. He goes, hey, I'm going to have you name all the animals. Is that okay? Is that cool?
Yes. Huh? I'll do it.
Name them all, man. All right? You can give them big names. You can call them dogs. You can call them, but name them all. See, God had an intent for man to walk with him. How many of you know that God's always just wanted to walk with us? Thank you, brother. God's always just wanted to walk with us in the cool of the day. Just say, hey, man, I just want to walk with you. I just want to spend time with you. I want to speak to you. I want to hear you speak to me. And let's just have a relationship with me. That's all God's asking for. And he says, that which I've intended. See that? I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. Well, that's verse 11. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will do it. See, God's purpose in the beginning was to walk with man. Man kind of jacked that up. But God, when Jesus came back, when Jesus came, he died for our sins. He repaired that area. And now we can walk with him, talk with him, spend time with him. We don't have to sacrifice sheep. We don't have to do all of that stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You guys are wondering, man, when's he going to finish? So now, how do you get to God? How do you get to him? How do you get to him? I remember when I began to hear, when God began to speak to me, began to share things with me, I remember how that I began to think about what I was doing, and I began to ask God, God, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. I'd watch Jimmy Swaggart on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember what day it was. I think it might have been Saturday night. I watched Jimmy Swaggart. I'd listen to the music. I'd cry during the music. I'd listen to the preaching. I'd cry during the preaching. Hallelujah. And at the end of the thing, I'd be in front of my TV saying, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Happened, I don't know how many weeks in a row. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Finally, one day, the Lord said to me, okay, you're good. You're good. You're good. But you know what I had? I had a broken heart for what I'd been doing before God. The Bible says that a broken heart and a contrite spirit is what he will not. That is something that God says. He looks through the crowd. Broken, contrite heart. Broken, contrite spirit. Broken, 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 broken. That's how, you know how, you know what? If you got it all together, you don't need God. Is that right? But it's when you don't have it all together, that's when you need God. And the Bible says that a broken and contrite spirit, he will in no wise, is valuable to him. Do you remember when David and Bathsheba had their little thing, their fling? You remember that? And then Nathan the prophet comes up to David and he tells him, hey, man, you know what? There's a guy in the kingdom, man. He only had one sheep, and this guy was rich and had some friends come over. And when they came over, he goes, hey, told his guys, hey, go get that sheep of the neighbors over there because it's better looking than all our sheep. Go get that one, kill it so we can give this guy to eat. And David got his feathers all ruffled. He says, surely, who is this man? He shall die. And Nathan the prophet pinpointed his nose, you're the man. That's you. And all of a sudden, David says, man. And he went and he humbled himself and began to cry out to God. This time, Bathsheba was pregnant by this time. David's calling out, and the Lord said, the baby's going to die. The baby died. But Psalm 51 has a very nice recording of what David was saying. But there's a scripture in Psalm 51. He says this. Psalm 51. David is talking to the Lord. And he says this. This is verse 16 and 17. He says, you desire not sacrifice else I would give it. You delight not in burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. How many of you have a broken heart? Anybody have a broken heart? Hallelujah. A broken and contrite spirit doesn't mean to just over your sins. You can have a broken and contrite spirit over what maybe your children are doing or your kids are doing. You can have a broken and contrite spirit over your nation. How many know that? You can have a broken and contrite spirit over your city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says, I do not despise that. I love that. I'm going to grab that. I'm going to bring that in. He's going to speak to you. Last verses, I promise. If we could go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You remember how it said he revealed the armor of the Lord? How he reveals the armor of the Lord? I want you to look at this, verse 3. It says this. Verse 3 says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Is that right? How many know that? How many believe that? If our gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves the servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This gospel that we are preaching to those that are lost, the Bible says right here that the God of this world has blinded their minds so they can't understand it and they won't see it. But I'm going to tell you something. Get ready. Get ready. Let your prayers be a broken and contrite manner before the Lord. And I'm going to ask you this morning, would you pray with me about souls? Will you pray that God would begin to bring souls into the kingdom of God? Can I tell you this? That Jesus is concerned about the souls of those that don't know him. Can I say that to you? And God is trying to bring the light of the gospel into their lives. And we're too busy with what's going on in our lives. So we get too busy to talk to them. Oh, I'm too busy right now. Hey, you know what? I'll talk to you later, bro. You know, whatever. I've got to go do this. I've got to go do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. Where God was saying, just say something. Just open your mouth and say something to the lost. Because he's deposited. Let's check this out. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, that of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. How many understand that? Cast down, not destroyed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. How many of you guys have ever been that way? You know, I'm going to tell you that God is saying, he says, look, the apostle is saying, everything we go through, it's for a reason. There's a reason we're going through it. Do you know what that reason is? Check this out. It says this. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Where? And then he says it again. For we which live are always delivered into death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see that? That's the way the world sees Jesus. Who has believed our report, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know, can I just say this? If they're watching you, the arm of the Lord is going to be revealed through your life. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God has given you a message? He's given you something. And even if it's saying, God loves you, you know, even if it's saying, hey, God bless you this morning, even if it's smiling at him and just saying, hey, man, it's okay. It's all right. Folks, we're called to touch the lost. If there's anything that's within you that is driving you and pushing you and causing you, some people are driven by their studies. Some people are driven by whatever it is. There are things that will try to come into your life to keep you from driving into what you just say, hey, you know what? I just want to tell you something. You know what? God loves you. He really does care about you. You know, he really does know what you're going through. He really does. God knows it. He understands it. And we are the vessels that he's chosen to speak the gospel into the city. Amen? Amen. If you would you stand up? Hallelujah. Broken and contrite heart. Are you broken over your nation? Are you broken over the souls of the lost? Are you broken over some of the things that you might be doing? Are you broken? Hallelujah. God is saying, come to me. That's what he's saying. Come to me. Let's talk about it. He loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus knows everything going on in your life? Do you know that? Do you realize that? Do you realize that God is saying to you, hey, you know what? I have broken every chain. I have caused everything that is troubling you, everything to come into subjection under me. Do you know that? Do you know that everything that's going on in your life is subject to Jesus Christ? Do you understand that? That's the truth. Everything's going on. So come to him with a broken and contrite spirit this morning and allow God to speak into your heart the things that you have been desiring, because he is ready to speak to you. Allow him to speak those things. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to open the altar, but I'm going to just pray for you first. Father, I just thank you for your people. I ask you, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are doing great and mighty things today. That your people, Father, your people, Father, have a calling upon them, Father God. Well, your word says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered their hearts the things that you have called them into. So, Father, I'm just asking you, Father, that you would, Father, speak to their hearts this morning. Touch those that are hurting. Touch those that have needs, Father God. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.